Okay, would you turn your Bible to Genesis chapter 8? We've been going through the book of Genesis systematically. This morning's title is The God of the New Beginning. When we are searching the Bible for something encouraging to read due to our spiritual, physical, and emotional situation, many of us would end up in the Romans chapter 8. Because the Romans chapter 8 is full of encouragement, full of assurance from God. But a very few people would remember God's faithfulness shown in the Genesis chapter 8. In this chapter, we can find hope and encouragement because the main theme of this chapter is a renewal and the rest after tribulation. It tells about the end of the worldwide flood and the beginning of the new life and hope for God's chosen people and His creation. A lot of people think that, especially unbelievers think that Noah's flood is a fable or big tale. It is not. Let's stop and pray. Father, oh how we need a new beginning. We know what it's like when we are down and out, a sinful stage, you reach down to us and rescued us from the muck and mire of the dooms. Father, we thank you and we praise your holy name for your faithfulness through Jesus Christ. You reached out to the bottom and you rescued us and set us on the solid rock that is Jesus Christ. If we find the comfort in our heart that when this trial on earth is over, when we get to heaven, we will see our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ face to face. Not because of our righteousness, because of our, or because what we have done, but simply because of our Lord Jesus Christ and His righteousness and holiness. His holiness came into our account and made us holy. Father, we are asking you to speak to us as we study this chapter. Speak to us about the hope and the encouragement and the renewal and the rest in you. Let us not do the things that we plan to do, but rather let us do what is right in your sight, that you alone receive glory. Father, we pray for the President Trump and all the leaders in this country. Father, we pray that they may turn their heart over to you and do what is right in your sight. And we pray for our troops and law enforcement personnel and firefighters. Father, we pray that they may be protected by you. Another officer got killed in Tennessee. Comfort the families and the friends. We pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Chapter 8, please. Genesis 8:1. Then God remembered Noah. Note that, please. God remembered Noah and every living things and all the animals that were with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters subside, and mountains of the deep and the windows of heaven were also stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained. And the water receded continually from the earth. At the end of the 150 days, the water decreased. Then the ark rested in the seventh month and 17th day of the month on the mountains of Ararat. And the water was decreased continually until the 10th month. And in the 10th month, the first day of the month, on top of the mountains was seen. Stop there, please. It's not that God forgot about Noah. It's like he left the heavenly faucet on, and like we do. I've done that before. Have you ever done that before? I flooded the front yard and even the street many times. And you know, I get the water bill and say, you idiot. He doesn't have a Green Valley moment because he forgets things. This morning I couldn't find my glasses. So who stopped the rain? God did. Our Lord cannot forget anything because he knows the end from the beginning. Rather, it means it's our way to saying to pay attention to fulfill a promise or the act on behalf of somebody. This is using our language to help us to get a picture of God. The Lord did not forget about Noah. The Lord does not forget about us either. His promise, famous promise, is mentioned in Deuteronomy and Joshua and Hebrews. I will never leave you and what? Forsake you. That's his promise. We can be sure that God never forget or forsake his people, not only because of his promises, but also because of his character. And God is love, and where there is a love, there is a faithfulness. God cannot deny himself or his word because he is a faithful God. And he cannot change. He can never change because he is immutable. Very important word. Because he is perfect, he cannot change for the better. Because he is holy, he cannot change for the worse. We can depend on him no matter what our circumstances or no matter how we feel. Have you ever felt that God is not listening to your prayer? You've been praying, and all this time, there's no answer. It seems like your prayer just bounced off the ceiling. It feels like nothing more than hot breath. Does God hear you? Yes, he hears you. The moment you cried out to him from the beginning, he heard you. It's just not the time for him to answer. Actually, he answered. Wait. We just don't like it. That's the problem. Sometimes he works in a dramatic way in our lives. Sometimes all years go by and nothing dramatic happens. You're just living Christian life by faith. You wonder, is God even paying attention to me anymore? He is. And you know, let me say this. You just need to do the last thing he told you to do continually. And you may say, well, I want to go to the next chapter. He doesn't let us go because we are not ready to go yet. Remember this, God always finishes what he started. That's why he's called author and finisher of our faith. Okay, be honest. How many of you guys started a project and that didn't finish it and still in the garage? Come on, be honest. You're in the church. Many of us, right? He's not like that. He starts and he finishes. Philippians 1:6, please. Right after Ephesians, right before Colossians in the New Testament. Philippians 1:6. Our memory verse. You all there yet? Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. So back to what I just said. You just hold your course. Keep doing what God has told you to do. You know, I think I told you this story. I got the barbecue grill one time. I thought, I don't need a manual. I got a college degree. So I put together by myself. I was proud of it until I finished it and tried to drag it. I couldn't drag it because I put the wheels in the backside. From then, I told myself, if I'm going to put together something, you read the manual first. What if I read the manual, first page, and then go to the fifth page, go to the 12th page? Do you think that will go well? No. You have to follow one step at a time. There's a reason why the manual has a number with a big letter 1, 2, 3. Follow the sequence. If we don't do those things that God is telling us to do now, don't expect that God is going to tell us the next step. Follow the God's step. According to Genesis chapter 7, verse 24, the flood reached the peak at 150 days. Can you imagine having a rain, downpour rain, 150 days? You're going to think that you're in Oregon. Torrential rain and eruption of the water from the beneath the earth has both ceased. And during the next 5 months, God caused the water to recede and leave the dry land behind. Then those who are analytical in mind will say, where did all that water go? Well, good question. I'm glad you asked. Never underestimate the power of moving water. Remember, it's possible that flood greatly altered the shape of the land and created a new area of water to fill in. For the water to come out from underneath of the earth, what would happen? Earthquake happened. Something happened in the water to come out. And that means the rest of the earth shifted. And since there, the eruption of beneath of the earth, that translates to a major earthquake, and the whole continent and mountain range have risen and fallen, creating the huge area into the water could get into. See that picture? There's a big belt known as a ring of fire. And pay attention to the word and North America is located. California side. Have you ever heard of San Andreas fault line? I found that interesting things when I was doing study this. Some of the fault line dropped right smack dab in the middle of the house. Go through the house. Swimming pool side will drop and the house will go up. 30 feet per second. And you may say, well, it's not that bad. 30 feet per second, continuously moving. That means, can you move 30 feet that fast in 1 second? That's moving really fast. In other words, it is possible the ocean, close to the ocean side, will collapse all the way down to the ocean. LA, San Francisco, San Diego, all of that will collapse. Any of you guys living in California? I know you. Okay. Any of you going back? By the way, San Andreas, that fault line can happen in any moment. It's about, according to its routine schedule, it's about 20 years behind. Just for your comfort when you go back to California. Okay. Do you know how tall the Mount Everest is? Come on, guess. Make a guess. 16,000. Do I hear 18,000? 29,000. To be exact, 29,029 feet. Okay. That's the tallest mountain in the world. Even that cannot fill the deepest sea, Mariana Trench, the west of the Philippines. The Mariana Trench is 36,201 feet deep. In other words, you can put the Mount Everest upside down, put all the way in, and between the top of the mountain and the sea level, there's 1.2 miles difference. Okay, let me give you the fact. According to United States Geological Society report, about 71% of Earth's surface is water covered. And the ocean contains more than 96.5% of all the Earth water. Water also exists in the air as a water vapor, and in river and lake, ice cap and glacier and all the living beings. And you may say, what do you mean? All of you? About the 60% of your body content is water. Did you know that? So if you call somebody, hey, water boy, that's true. In other words, all that water is still existing in the air and as well as on the earth and underneath of the earth. A God powerful enough to cover the earth with water is also wise enough to know how to dispose of it and when its work is done. Before we move on to the next portion of the scripture, I need you to pay attention in verse 4. Go back to verse 4, please. Then the ark rests in the seventh month and 17th day of the month in the Mount of Ararat. Stop there, please. Ark rested the seventh month and 17th day. Do you know what day Jesus rose from the dead? It was the 17th day of the 7th month on Jewish calendar. During that time, the month they ushered the new year with the Feast of the Trumpet and celebrate the Day of Atonement. in the Feast of the Tabernacle according to Leviticus 23 to 44. Passover takes place on the 14th day, and Jesus was on the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. So it was the 17th day and 7th month Jesus rose from the dead. So it was the same day that ark rested. And you may say, well, it's a coincidence. No. God rigged the whole thing. As simple as that. So that this ark is, in a way, a typology for Jesus Christ. Am I making sense? Go to verse 6, please. So it came to pass at the end of the 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made. Then he set out a raven which kept going to and fro until the water had dried up from the earth. He also sent out from himself a dove to see if the water had receded from the face of the ground. Verse 9, but the dove found no resting place for the sole of her foot. She returned into the ark to him. For the waters were on the face of the whole earth. So he put out his hand and took her in and drew her into the ark to himself. And he waited another 7 days, and God again he sent the dove out from the ark. Then the dove came to him in the evening, and behold, a freshly plucked olive leaves was in her mouth. And Noah knew that the waters were receded from the earth. So he waited yet another 7 days, sent out the dove, which did not return again to him anymore. Did you notice that Noah has a new hobby now? Bird watching. Why didn't the raven come back? Raven was classified as an unclean bird according to the law of God in the New Old Testament. And the raven went out into the judged world, and he found a feast of dead carcasses because they were the things he lived on. Bloated carcass of the elephant would make them a banquet. That is the picture of the old nature of man. The new nature, old nature loved the things of the world and feast on them. And the problem is that we sow into flesh and we shall reap from the flesh. Noah waited for a week, and he sent out the dove this time, but being a clean bird, found no place. Dove went out into the judged world. He found no rest and no satisfaction. And she returned to the ark. Dove represents believers in the world. A week later, this time Noah sent the dove out again. It returned with a fresh olive leaf. Noah knew the plant is coming up. Another thing, it came with the olive leaf. That also, because of this, it became a symbol of peace worldwide. Have you ever seen the dove with the olive leaves? Its origin is here. 1 John chapter 2, please. Way in the back. 1 John chapter 2. Verse 15. It reads, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, then the love of Father is not in him. Let me ask you this question. Which one are you? Are you raven or are you dove? And I know some of you are thinking, are you calling me bird brain? Well, it depends on your answer. Are you the one who is happy to be in the world? All the ungodly things? Or are you the one who is not finding any rest and satisfaction of the world? I hope you are the latter one. If you, as we just read in 1 John, if you have the love of the world, the love for the Father is not in you. Verse 13, please. And it came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month, in the first day of the month, that the water was dried up from the earth. And Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked. Indeed, the surface of the ground was dry. And in the second month, in the 27th day of the month, and the earth was dried. Then God spoke to Noah, saying, Go out of the ark, you and your wife and your son and your son's wives with you. Bring out all with you every living thing of the flesh that is with you, birds and cattle and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, so that they may abound on the earth and be fruitful and multiply on the earth. So Noah went out, and his sons and his wife and his wife's sons' wives with him. Every animal, every creeping thing, every bird, and whatever creeps on the earth, according to their families, went out of the ark. We don't know how. We don't know exactly how long it took Noah and his family to work on this ark. I know some people say 120 years, and we debunked that theory before. But during that time, he also preached the righteousness of God to the people around him. Yet, they rejected him. They gave, only thing he got was a mockery from them. He was the man of faith whose name is recorded in the halls and in the hall of faith, chapter that Hebrews chapter 11. Noah had a faith to walk with God. This is important, folks. Noah had a faith to walk with God when people of the earth, a world, was ignoring him and disobeying God. And he had a faith to work for God and to witness for God when opposition to truth was popular things. Now that the flood was over, he exercised faith to wait on God before leaving the ark. After being confined in the ark for over a year, to be exact, do you know how many days? 370 days. You may say, well, having a cruise for 370 days ain't bad. Think about it. If you're cooped up with all the animals inside, how would you like to be in the stable for 370 days with all that smell to go with? That wouldn't be a cruise. He and his family must yearn to get back on the dry land, but they wait for God's command. Circumstances on the earth look suitable for their disembarking, but was no guarantee that God would let them. To me, this is absolutely beyond amazing. Think about it. If you're cooped up in this for one location for 370 days, wouldn't you like to run out the door and get onto the ground? If you disagree with me, think about the last time when you got into the airplane. Soon as you got into touchdown, what do you everybody do? Everybody stand up, ready to get out. They're all standing. Only few people still sitting and waiting for their turn to get out. 370 days, they were inside. But Noah was a man of faith enough to wait upon God and to get that last order, get out. You see, obedient faith is our response to God's word. Because of faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God, as I mentioned in Romans 10:17. God rewarded Noah's faith and the faith of his family by caring for them in the ark all the time and preparing the earth for them so that they could leave the ark. In a way, Noah is the second Adam, and as he made a new beginning for this human race. At the beginning, at the first and second chapter of Genesis, God brought the earth, the ground, out of the water. Am I correct? Again, God brought earth out of the water for Noah. And they both got the same mandate, be fruitful and multiply. By the way, that command is only located in the Genesis. It's not everywhere. If you like to have many kids, good for you. God bless you. If you don't like to have many kids, that's your choice. What was it that caused the rest of mankind to reject God's word and perish? Noah's neighbors. They all chose to ignore God's command. They were like the people in the Lot's our Lord's parable in Luke chapter 14, 16 through 22, who were occupied with the ordinary things of the daily life and unconcerned about eternity. They believed that the life could go on as it always had and nothing would change. They said that God would not invade the world and interrupt the scheme of the things, but he did. People today have the same attitude concerning the return of the Lord. With that, I'm going to give you another illustration. Scientists did this, trial with a monkey. Put the monkey in the cage, small monkey in the cage, and start to give him his favorite apple. One in the morning, one in the lunchtime, one at night. And they did that for several days. And this time they changed the routine. They gave him three apples. Guess what he did? He ate them all. Lunchtime, he's still okay. Dinner time, he was hungry. So he started, how the monkey yelled? Started screaming and shaking the cage. Why didn't he spread them out? Because he doesn't think that far. Folks, you have a better brain than monkey. Right? Men supposed to have a better brain than monkey. But many people don't think that far. They don't think about eternal life. They say, whatever I have is good. Whoever has the most toys wins. Yeah, when you die, you don't carry your Corvette with you. Go to verse 20. Then Noah built an ark to the Lord and took every clean animal, every clean bird, and offered the burnt offering on the altar. Then the Lord smelled the soothing aroma. Then the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake. Although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done. While the earth remained, the seed time and the harvest, the cold and the heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. Stop there, please. Noah's first act after the leaving ark was not kissing the ground, rather worshiping the Lord, who kept them safe through their sacrifices. We should imitate Noah's gratitude and admiration of God's greatness and deliverance lead them to worship him. In the Old Testament days, when you sacrifice a burnt offering, you give an entire animal or bird to the Lord, nothing kept back. On the altar was a biblical law because the sacrifice symbolized total dedication to the Lord. Noah gave himself and his family completely to the Lord. God had graciously protected them and brought them through the storm. So it was only fitting that they make themselves available to the Lord to do his will. Let me ask you this question. How often do we call upon the Lord when times of need in prayer? We do often, don't we? All right, when God answered our prayer, do we thank God? Do we thank God as in fervency as we pray to him? When the things come to us as a result of his answer of our prayer, and he said, thank you, Lord, and that's the end of it, isn't it? When we do the prayer request and when we pray on midweek, after the midweek service, there are a long list of prayer requests. Usually they are the one or two, sometimes none, praise report. Why are we so shy, so stingy about giving praise to God? Have you ever thought about that? Why? Put your hand on your heart, please. Now, come on, stay awake with me. Do you feel that heartbeat? Do you feel it? And you may not. No, I don't feel it. Well, we have a problem. If you feel that heartbeat, that is from God. He allowed you to have that heartbeat. If he says no more, your heart will stop. And you may say, well, it ain't going to happen because I am in good health. A lot of people with good health die in a moment, in a split seconds. You have a heartbeat in your heart. You have a lung full of air in your lung. because God allowed you to. And you have a good job, good paying job, or even a lousy paying job, you still have the job. And you have a health to go to that job because God allowed you to. I'm sure you heard this. People in America, financially better than 95% of the world. Do we thank Him for that? We don't thank Him enough, especially born-again Christians. We should be most grateful people in the world. Noah remembered God. He called on the Lord and brought the sacrifice before Him, and we can do the same. We should do the same. One way is reading the Bible daily and pray daily. Don't say that I'll do it if I can find the time. If you're trying to find the time to pray and read the Bible, you will never, because it's not in your priority. Am I making sense? You make time. We desperately need to make a time to be with the Lord through His word and prayers daily. Another way is giving thanks to the Lord before a meal. We call it grace. Do you give a thank? Do you thank Him for your food, even in the restaurant? I love to see the people bowing their head in the midst of In-N-Out. That's my favorite joint. Once in a while, I see people bowing their head. And you may say, well, it's kind of embarrassing to bow my head to pray before a meal. No, it's not. Please do. Somebody will notice. That's the silent witnessing. I'm sure many of you noticed this chapter begins with God remembered Noah because of his faithfulness. But this chapter ends with Noah remembering God because of his faithfulness. I have three applications for you. Number one, we should just hold on our course. Keep doing what God has told us to do from the Bible. Second application. We should not love the world or things in the world. If we love the world, the love of Father is not in us. Amen? Third application. We should give thanks to the Lord for His promises and the faithfulness to fulfill them in every aspect of our lives. So give thanks to the Lord. All right. Let's stand up.